Hello and welcome to Scholarship Chat. My name is Ashley Hill and I'm so excited to be your host for today's chat. And so today we have several leading scholarship experts with me and they're going to be sharing some great strategies and tips to help you win more scholarship dollars. So if that's what you're looking for, then you're in the right place. So first, I'm going to ask our experts to introduce themselves and let's start with Jocelyn.
Hello everyone, my name is Jocelyn Panita. I wrote the book, The Scholarship System, 6 Steps on How to Win College Scholarships and Financial Aid. And we were just talking about this, but basically I wrote this book because I graduated from college and I knew that I didn't want to leave with tons of debt. So I decided in high school that I was going to get a free ride. And it wasn't as easy as I thought it was, so there was definitely a lot of trial and error going on. And so I decided to write a book about it so that hopefully students don't have to hit the same walls as I did and maybe can hit the ground running a little bit faster than I did. So that is why I'm here today.
Well, great. And Jocelyn, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited to hear more about what you wrote in your book and the different things you're going to share with us. Next, we're going to have Monica introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Monica Matthews, and I am the author of How to Win College Scholarships. It's an e-book. I have a parent's point of view. I helped my own son win enough college scholarships, so he graduated from college debt-free. And I basically was in a position where I didn't know what I was doing as a parent, and so I kind of figured it out, created a system. It worked for us, and was told, you need to write this down and teach other parents. So I help other parents and students along the way, too, but to learn about the scholarship process and to learn what they can do to get their applications set apart and so they're in a better position to win more college scholarships.
Wonderful. And again, Monica, thank you so much for joining us for today's chat.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And then lastly, I'm going to quickly introduce myself. My name again is Ashley Hill. I'm a scholarship search strategist. And so I really focus on where students should be searching, how they should be searching, and again, like Monica and Jocelyn mentioned, so that they can find more scholarship dollars, and hopefully the goal is not to graduate with debt. So, I'm so excited. We're going to jump into our first question. This is for Jocelyn. And the question is, what's the first step in finding college scholarships?
So, I'm going to do a little bit of a different answer on this, but in my opinion, the first step of getting for finding college scholarships is becoming competitive, and becoming competitive in areas that you like. So a lot of the worksheets that I do with students, it's to help them find the areas that they're interested in. And a lot of students that are listening, maybe they're a senior in high school or maybe they're even a freshman in college, and so they're like, it's too late to do that. That is not true. Unless you are graduating college, you absolutely can still work on areas that you can become competitive in. So by becoming competitive in areas you're passionate about, you can find scholarships that are in those areas that are specific to what you're passionate about, and therefore you can increase your chances of winning. So I think the first step is really to kind of do some soul searching. What do you like to do? What areas do you think it'd be easy to become competitive in? And even maybe do some soul searching and see what you have done, and maybe you didn't realize you were competitive in, and you could use those. So once you dwindle that down, then you can start your scholarship search. So that would be my answer.
I love that, Jocelyn. You know, I completely agree. I think a lot of students, they're so quick to jump to FastWeb or, you know, another, you know, popular search engine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's almost like diving in and you don't know what you're looking for. So I'm really glad that you touched on doing that soul searching part first. All right. And so, Monica, I want to ask you is how do students make time to find these scholarships?
Well, what parents really need to do is help their kids realize that this could be like a part-time job and break down the numbers. Like, if they took 2 hours on a $1,000 scholarship, that's like making $500 an hour. You have to talk to kids where they're going to hear you. Not just hear you, but really listen. And so money talks to kids. So you can ask for, say, 15 minutes a day. You know, work on this for 15 minutes a day. That's all I'm asking. And then a lot of times it turns into, once they get into it, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and then they're done. So if you just kind of speak to kids where they can understand and listen and compromise, you're going to get a lot more accomplished.
I agree. You know, it's funny you mentioned the job part because so many students are like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing over the summer. And I'm like, well, if you're heading to college, you need to be looking for scholarships.
Yep, there you go.
That's their job.
Well, and you know, the more scholarships they win while they're in high school or even in college, the less hours they may need to work while they're in college when life is a lot harder.
That's a good point. Thanks for mentioning that. Okay, and Jocelyn, back to you. So where should students look locally for college scholarships?
Looking locally, I found, let's see, going back to my experiences, you'd be surprised how many local companies actually sponsor their own little scholarships. But the first place that I would look locally is honestly in the guidance counselor's office. And this sounds crazy. A lot of things are now online. But believe it or not, there are companies or local, like the Elks Club, all these local groups. What they do is they just mail a letter to the guidance office and says, hey, we have these scholarships, so if you have any students, have them apply here. And that's how they get the word out. They're not on these big sites, or maybe they are, but they, believe it or not, do mail letters to their guidance office. So I know my guidance office, they never mention it to anyone, but I happened to find out through the grapevine that they had this filing cabinet with a big drawer of letters. And so I went and found a lot of local scholarships that way. So that'd be probably my first bet. My first start is at the guidance office, because local places send them the letters because they know that they want local students.
Exactly. And, you know, I encourage students to do exactly what you just said, because that narrows the pool of applicants. Because, like you said, they're looking for students in that particular area. So, very, very good advice. And so, Monica, back to you. So this is a question I get a lot, is how can students stay organized as they're going through the scholarship application process?
Well, in their home, there needs to be a place where they can place all the important things that they might need later for scholarships, report cards, award certificates, letters of recommendation, or things that teachers have said about you. It's all about having one place where everybody in the family knows where to put these things. Otherwise, you're going to be a senior in high school, and the scholarship application might say, how many hours did you volunteer in your freshman year? And people are like, well, how am I supposed to figure that out? Well, if you have a place where you've written down, this is what I did, this is who I volunteered for, and this is the contact name of the person that I worked with, it's all in the same place. So having a very important place that everybody knows about is a really good start. Another way is to have a file on your computer. There's file sharing and things that kids know way more about than us parents do. There's apps on your phone. There are just ways to stay organized that you can take advantage of in this day and age. But it is so important to stay organized, and that is one of my first steps for kids and for their parents, is to have a place and to get organized in the process, because it does become overwhelming with all the different deadlines and things that you need for each scholarship. So becoming organized is really, really important.
It is, and you know, it's interesting. I've had clients before, you know, where they've come to me and we're working together, and they're like, oh, I just missed two deadlines because they weren't organized, you know, before we met. And like you said, it's so important to have a central location, you know, to have a system in place.
Right, and you know, it doesn't need to be fancy. I mean, I just used a notebook. I had a notebook where I had a list of, this is what my son was going to apply for, this is what we already applied for. You know, I just kept detailed notes, so it doesn't need to be a big, fancy, computerized system. It could just be a notebook, as long as it's in one place.
Right. I like that.
Back to basics.
That's right. And so, Jocelyn, to you now. So, kind of a two-part question. First is, what are your thoughts on scholarship search websites? And then secondly, should students be investing their time in searching on these websites for college scholarships?
Great question. So, I love the college sites. I was a fan of FastWeb. I found a few on there. I think that if you know how to use them, then they're very effective. However, on the other hand, I think that they're also very easy ways to distract you from really getting down to the point and actually applying, because there's so much on there. So I think really, you know, those sites are great. They're great resources, just like the Internet. There's so much out there. It's a great resource if you know how to use it. So just going off that, do I think they should use it? Absolutely. But I think that they should use it wisely. And how can they do that? First, if the application says fill out this survey and you're put in for a drawing, if you're not writing essays, if you don't have to put an effort, it's probably not worth your time, even if it takes 2 seconds, because it's probably not legitimate. Sure, maybe they grab one student out of the drawing that can win money, but really, if you're not writing an essay or if it doesn't have some kind of criteria that is somewhat challenging, then it's I wouldn't say that it's worth your time or that it's legitimate, honestly. So that's one of the things. I know someone, they said, oh, yeah, I'm applying for tons of scholarships. And I was like, oh, really? You know, have you tweaked your essays and all this? And they said, oh, essays? It's the surveys. I fill out my stuff. And I told them, you know, these are ways that companies are catching your information. They're taking advantage of it. So basically, you have to watch these and make sure that you're applying to legitimate ones. Another trick that I've learned for using these online sites is using Google, not going directly to FastWeb, but instead using Google to look for scholarships that particularly pertain to you. So, for example, I mentioned earlier finding a passion. Say you love public speaking. You can Google public speaking scholarships, and it'll probably take you to a site such as FastWeb, but it'll at least be focused on areas that you can be competitive in. So I think that's another big tip that can help. So just in summary, I think they're great, but they can definitely be distracting if they're not used properly. But there's definitely some good stuff in there. It just takes a little bit of digging to find it.
Exactly. You know, I think you really touched on what I would say is the key point is that you have to really understand really what you're doing there. You know, like you said, a lot of students receive a contest, and actually I've had students come to me and say, I only want you to find scholarships for me that I don't have to write an essay. I don't have to fill out, you know, and answer questions. And I tell them that, you know, yes, those are out there, but like you said, are they legitimate? Some of them are, and some of them aren't. So this is really important for students to truly understand that. So, Monica, back to you. Kind of a two-part question for you, too. Is what are your thoughts on students purchasing or borrowing scholarship books with scholarship lists, and are they useful even with scholarship resources that are available online?
Well, definitely as one resource, yes. I love the big scholarship books. My favorite one is the one, it's by Jen and Kelly Tanoff, and it's the Ultimate Scholarship Book. I used to take that book everywhere with me, and people would be like, what are you looking for? Like, I'm looking for scholarships for my son. There's always downtime. There's downtime when you're in the car before your kids drive, when you're waiting for them to finish soccer practice or track or whatever, and you can flip through it and make notes and, you know, put little sticky notes on there. There's just so much in there. I found scholarships in there that FastWeb did not find for my son. They're all listed by hobbies, and there's a section for ethnicity, and there's a section for interests and majors and state. It's just, they're huge resources, but, like, you know, if it comes back to, it's one resource. You don't want to just buy or borrow one of those books for a few months and then be done because you've gone through the whole book. Well, first of all, it takes a long time to go through that whole entire book, so you have to get good at flipping through and looking for what you need. But it's one resource. I mean, another resource is Googling, and another resource is the counselor's office. There's so many different resources for students when looking for scholarships, so I definitely recommend them. There are apps now that are supposedly the same information, but you just have to be careful because there are deadlines in there that they've changed from year to year, and maybe the company hasn't updated their information. So even with those books, you need to, first thing when you write it down and you think it's a scholarship your student could apply for, go online and find out when the real deadline is, because I've seen it over and over. And also, companies sometimes pull their scholarships in mid-year because they don't have the money. So find out if it's a real scholarship with a real deadline before relying on anything in any of those books.
I like that. And you know what? It's funny, I think, because we're in this technology age, you know, everyone immediately wants to run to, you know, online to Google or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you know, these folks could be resources, and particularly I'm thinking locally as well, you know, or maybe major specific, where they may not be so, organized online, but in that book they could all be in that one place.
Right. Well, I think you kind of get a lot of clicking to nowhere, I call it, when you're online, because you're looking for something, you just keep clicking and clicking. Well, with the book, you're not going to have that. You're flipping, but not clicking. You're just looking smartly. So, yeah, I definitely recommend those as one resource.
Exactly. And so, Jocelyn, back to you. So what's the best way to approach writing the scholarship essay?
Oh, that is a challenging question, the best way to approach an essay. But it's a great one. So I think this varies by person. The method that I suggest, however, is actually the method that I wrote my book in. And I'll tell you, this method has been taught since I was, you know, just a few years into school. And I never really used it until I got older and started doing college essays and writing my book. But this, basically, it's a word web. So in the center, you can write, depending on the topic of the subject or of the essay. So say it's asking you, what are three areas or three ways that you've shown leadership skills, and you know, tell us about those. So in the center, you could put leadership. And then, honestly, you just brain dump on a piece of paper. You write anything you can think of, every leadership experience you could possibly think of, and what you learned from that. And then, believe it or not, a lot of these word webs, they tend to gather together into a few main points without you even realizing it. So once you throw out every experience or idea or point on a piece of paper, you can take another color and kind of circle around those in clusters. And there you can create the structure, a rough structure of your essay. So I always suggest having an opening, three main points, and then a closing, so that it's very organized and simple for the judges to read. So once you brain dump on your paper, you can try and cluster it into three main points. And you'll have some ideas that you don't even use, and maybe you'll think of others as you start clustering. But this is a great way just to get as many ideas out on paper as possible. And then once you cluster them together, you can, so say, for example, I threw out, basketball, football, baseball, I was in all of those, and I was captain. And then in school, I do student government. And then at home, I have older siblings. So I can cluster those together as sports, scholastic or extracurricular activities at school, and then family. And once I get those clusters, I can actually start an outline on a separate sheet of paper. So then I start my outline, and within my outline, I write my three main points, and then within those, I write three sub-points that I want to make, and then when I write my essay, I just literally follow right down the line, and I fill in the words. And it is unbelievable. I was writing about a thousand words in just over an hour with this method. Yeah, because it gives you such a clear structure, and yet one of the big suggestions I have is don't sit down and write linearly. If you sit down and you expect to just write something on a sheet of paper, you know, type it up and you're done, just think, you're thinking linearly when you want to do that. You're not thinking abstract, you're not thinking creatively, or maybe some people it does work, but for the most part, you're not thinking as creative as you would be if you're just writing random ideas everywhere, if that makes sense. So when you sit down and you want to write just some sentences, you're going to get some more rigid thoughts, whereas if you do this kind of brain dump idea with a word web, you're going to get a little bit more creative because you're having a little fun with it.
Right, and you know, that's really great advice, and thanks for sharing that method. The biggest thing that I've seen, and you can tell me your experience, is I hear so many students and even staff with essays that I reviewed, if they lack that organization. And so, yeah. You know, sometimes their thoughts are, you know, ooh, let me talk about this, and they get that shiny object syndrome, you know, then they jump to another point. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, that's what, you know, when these scholarship judges are reviewing these applications and they're looking for essays that are organized and you have one that isn't, you know, that's a clear way to disqualify someone.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And once again, sometimes the word limits don't let you be as structured as you want to, as far sure. as five paragraphs, one opening, three points, and then a closing paragraph, but you can still have it somewhat structured as far as the sentences go. You can have one quick word, one quick sentence that opens it, and then you can have a couple sentences that give your main points and then a closing sentence. So, I mean, you could have it as small as five sentences and still have that structure, but I think a lot of students get overwhelmed with how much, you know, all these ideas that are coming to them and oh no, the word limit, that, yeah, the structure goes by the wayside. And I agree, it's honestly, it's one of the key elements when judging.
It is, and Monica, I know I was going to ask you the next question, but I want to get your opinion as a parent. When you were helping your son, you know, write his scholarship essays, do you have any tips for parents? Like, how do they help their child kind of work through that process?
Well, I think the main thing I would help with is just really make sure that the question was totally answered. Like, really good thing we used to do is I would read his scholarship essay without knowing what the prompt was. So I could read it, and try to figure out, okay, this is what they were trying to ask you. And if it didn't have anything to do with or it was way off base, he realized that he didn't quite answer the question because I don't even know what the question is, and I read the answer. So parents can help with grammar and proofreading, typos, that kind of thing, but they also can make sure that the question is answered because I hear that from scholarship judges all the time, that they could go off on a tangent. I mean, like she was mentioning, Jocelyn was mentioning, they just don't quite get the clear thought. They start writing about something, and they don't answer the question, and all of a sudden they've got to their 500-word limit, and they need to be finished. So parents should keep kids on task, and they could say, you know, this isn't quite, I don't quite understand what the question is, so you need to write a little bit more clear. And, you know, finding typos, that kind of thing, that's how parents get help in that. Because the scholarship essay is so important. It really is the heart of the scholarship application. You hear it all the time. It's so important. And that's why kids who don't want to write essays, you know, they don't realize, hey, you know, you can use it again. You can use the same essay. You know, be careful for word count. But those are great thoughts. And a lot of scholarships ask similar questions, you know, on how are you best fit for the scholarship? And, you know, how are you going to use this in your career? So helping kids get through that, because I know the whole blank paper thing, my middle son had a very hard time with that. I mean, I would leave him in the basement with a blank computer screen, come out, you know, 2 hours later, go down there, and it would still be blank, or there'd be one sentence. And so that, the whole blank paper thing, so I love the whole word web. I mean, that's so basic. I used to teach, and it's like, wow, we did that for first graders, but they love it too, so why not? That is such a great idea. So I'm learning here too.
I love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going to say, you know, kind of how I think about the scholarship essay, and I try to explain this to students and their families as well, is, you know, judges want to see how well you can communicate. You know, that's really what it's all about, is can you communicate a thought and respond and think critically and put all that into, you know, with whatever the confines, you know, of the essay, the 300 words or 500 words. And so, really, I tell students, you know, like you said, Monica, get the parents involved and then have a message, Jocelyn, like you said. So it's really a combination of things that students need to consider when they're writing their scholarship essay. So thanks, guys. That was great responses. So the next question I threw in here, and actually I'm going to kind of answer it and then get your thoughts, Jocelyn, and get your thoughts, Monica. But I actually recently just came up with a client, and we're talking about letters of recommendation. And so since she's going to college in a couple months, she already had letters of recommendation, you know, to go with her college application, and she wanted a shortcut and use those for her scholarship applications. And so I told her that you have to be careful because, you know, when it comes to the scholarship application, you know, like let's say if the theme is leadership skills, but if your letter of recommendation doesn't mention that, you know, then that's not one that I would include. So that was my advice to her, but Jocelyn, I'd love to get your thoughts on letters of recommendation in terms of the scholarship process in general.
Yeah, I think it's always good to have a few generic ones, maybe not generic, but ones that aren't focused in on one topic, but they're just a great recommendation letter in your back pocket. So I definitely had a few resources, a few people that they just wrote great recommendation letters, and I was absolutely able to use those for the ones that just said, you know, submit a recommendation letter. They didn't give a specific topic, you know. But the ones that, like you said, that are focused on leadership and a specific topic, I would absolutely suggest getting them. Maybe you could even get them tweaked. You could even say, you know, I actually had some recommenders that let me read it. They didn't mind at all. They sent it to me and said, you know, this is what I sent them. So then I had them in a folder. And I would send it back to them and say, hey, this one's regarding leadership. Do you mind tweaking it with this experience that I had with you? And the people that are recommending you, honestly, a lot of them, I would imagine you have a great relationship with, and that's why you ask them that. So a lot of them don't mind at all. They can absolutely tweak it, but you still want to be careful, like you said. You don't want to just submit it, reuse it, and it doesn't fit what you need. So you definitely don't want the scholarship committee to realize, hey, this is probably just a generic letter that they're sending to every single one. You want to make sure it's somewhat personalized. Like mine, I always had them address the specific scholarship committee. It wasn't just to whom it may concern. Those little things that you could do to tailor it to the specific scholarship. But I think having a few solid structured ones in your back pocket that you can easily tailor I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I like that. So, Monica, tell me, from a parent's point of view, how can parents really help their kids, you know, approach this you know, if they're required, let's say, to have a letter of recommendation to go with their scholarship application?
Yeah, well, you know, what we would do is we had a scholarship resume or activity resume all made up and ready, and we would mm-hmm. figure out what the scholarship is for. I mean, say for a Ronald McDonald scholarship, okay, what's the background? You know, they help families who have sick kids who are in the hospital. So we always found out a little bit about the whole point of the scholarship was and the organization. And so we would ask the recommendation writer to tailor the letter towards that. And we would say, you know, hand them a little paragraph, say, this is who it's to, this is what it's about, and this is how I think I have my strengths in this area and how I can match up with the scholarship. So we would also do the same thing. Like, we would have it on, a lot of them would give them to my son in a flash drive, and they'd just say, here's the letter. They would print one out and they'd sign it. But then we'd also have that letter, too, so we could print it out and he could take it back. We could even change the name on it. So it uh-huh. always addressed a certain scholarship, just like Jocelyn said, and all they had to do was sign it. So they loved it because it was so much less work for them, and yet we were able to tailor them to exactly what we needed. And the other thing, too, is I tell students, don't be afraid to ask. If you only need one letter, don't be afraid to ask for two from different teachers. Especially, you know, for a lot of scholarships, they're not sealed. They just hand them to them because you have to mail it in. And then you
right.
can pick the one you want. Read the letters because those the recommendation writers, they're not going to know if you didn't send their letter in. You're still going to send them a nice thank you note saying, thank you so much for helping me in the scholarship process, whatever. But they're not
right.
going to know if you didn't pick their letter. So it's one thing that really worked for us. And, you know, one time I'll never forget, it was during spring break, and I'm not sure what happened, but we didn't have a letter. Didn't have something from one of the teachers. And
mm-hmm.
I had a good relationship with the guidance counselor only because I would call her a lot and email her and ask her questions, and I was just very involved in the process. And we needed something from her, and she helped us on spring break. And I'll never forget that because here she was, it was her break, and I don't know if we got lucky, but, you know, if I had just been a parent who had never mm-hmm. even talked to her all year long, and all of a sudden during spring break I need some help, there's no way she would have helped me. But it was had
right.
to do with the letter of recommendation, and it must have been maybe from her. And she came through with flying colors for my son. And so I'm a really big advocate of getting close to your guidance counselor, having your kids go in a lot, become familiar with them. They know that you're working hard in the process, so they're more apt to help you. So, yeah, the letter of recommendation is really important. But help your writers write a better letter is what I always try to tell the students and parents who ask me for tips.
I like
yeah,
that.
That's great.
No, go ahead, Jocelyn.
Well, I was just going to go off of that point, help them write you a recommendation letter. I always say if you can, send a resume or at least a synopsis of what you've done. And a lot of times they already know it, but it helps them a lot by you just writing down, here are the few things I've been involved in, here's my GPA, and if you're in college and you're applying for scholarships, you can write your major and stuff like that because, you know, maybe they just forgot it or something, but at least you can give them something to get them started.
Exactly. And so, Monica, you mentioned something I wanted to kind of segue into, is you're talking about it's important to have that relationship in place. And, Jocelyn, you mentioned that, too. So, Monica, for a student that's starting really early, like let's say they're in ninth grade or eighth grade and they haven't had that chance to, you know, build and solidify a relationship, how do they even approach, you know, the process of building those relationships that way when they do need letters of recommendation that they can go to, you know, their teachers or mentors or whoever?
Right. Well, I would recommend volunteering. And if you're not sure where to start, volunteer as a family. If kids are too nervous to go on their own, well, don't make them go on their own. Volunteer as a family because a family that volunteers together, I mean, I volunteer, my kids volunteer, my mom volunteers, and my grandma volunteers. So it's just
wow.
kind of it's what we do as a family. So
mm-hmm.
some of those people who you volunteer for and you establish those relationships with, they're going to write the best letters ever because not only have they seen you grow, I mean, eighth grade, ninth grade, they've seen you go, you know, there's a huge difference in kids between eighth grade and a senior in high school. They're going to
yes.
know some background of how you first started, maybe you were really shy, and they could talk about these things in their letters and in helping you in the scholarship process. So volunteering together, doing things outside the box that most kids don't normally do, it's just things that impress scholarship recommendation writers and anybody in the process, and just letting everybody know, hey, I'm going to apply for the scholarship. And, you know, apply for one. You know, I have an eighth grader, and we applied for one a few weeks ago. So people are like, well, why are you doing it now? Well, why not? There's scholarship
yeah.
out there for my eighth grader, and he already knows this is what we do. We apply for scholarships. So he's not afraid. He knows I'm with him in the process, and he knows they're out there. So just kind of a process, the earlier the better.
I agree. And, Jocelyn, I'm going to ask you the same question. As for a student that's beginning, you know, they haven't had a chance to solidify those relationships. How do they go about doing that?
I think there are always consistent people, like we mentioned, guidance counselors and, you know, people like that, that they're used to doing recommendation letters. I think they, you know, you can give them a little and they can give you a lot. They're not someone like, I think a professor you would have to have a little bit more experience with, or maybe someone in a student organization, you'd have to have more time with them for them to write your recommendation letter. But I think starting with their guidance counselors, like I mentioned, I think they're used to this kind of thing, so you give them a little, they can deliver a lot. So that might be a great place to start. But I agree, getting involved and becoming part of activities, it just increases your pool of where you can get these recommendation letters from. So even if they're early, they should start jumping in, getting involved, finding what their passion is or what areas do they think they could be competitive in, and start building up that network. That's really key. So once they start, I think you'd be surprised how quickly you can build relationships. So it's not like you have to know someone for a year for them to know your character and your work ethic and things like that that are useful in a recommendation letter. So I think as long as you make a good impression, you could know them for a few months and they could write you an amazing letter.
Very true. And since we've been talking about early, I have a kind of a fun question. So I was going to ask you, Zach, when I start with you, is what's the earliest age you've seen to be eligible for scholarships?
I have seen scholarships where you could be, I think it was like 6 years old, and all you had to do was submit drawings. So, and that's pretty extreme. I know that there aren't many of those, but you actually get a bond for the scholarship is what it is, and it matures when the student is 18 years old so that they can use it for college. So, honestly, one of my mentors, he gives his kids $5 for every scholarship application that they fill out and submit, even if they don't meet the requirements as far as age or grade. He knows that by them doing them now, doing the essays, getting used to searching for them now, he knows that they'll be able to do it 10 times better and faster and more effective once they actually do become of age to apply. So I think you're never too young to start.
I like that. So, Monica, now I'm going to ask you, what's the earliest age that you've seen?
That's funny because of what I just referenced, it's actually the Kids Who Will Move Mountain Scholarship, Dr. Seuss. It was for kids 5 to 18, so 5 years old. The other one is the Kohl's Kids Who Care Scholarship, or Kohl's Cares for Kids, that one. I believe that one is for kids ages 6 on up. So, you know, a lot of them, 13 and under, they're not really allowed to. There's a certain, and I can't even remember, Ashley, you might know, they are not allowed to include some scholarships on sites for kids who are under the age of 13.
Yeah.
So they just, you need to do a little bit more digging, but if you search for scholarships for kids or for young kids or for young children, you're going to find a lot. It's just people assume the kids are too young, or they assume their kids can't write very well yet that they won't be able to do a good job. But, you know, the Dr. Seuss one, it was all parents. The kids didn't have to do anything besides pose for a really cute picture. You know, I mean, and decide to be who they are, because the parents had to write about them. Same with Kohl's. That's completely, you can nominate somebody, and you write the essay, you do the information. So a lot of these, you can just ask other people to nominate or do a little bit of work yourself to help them out for younger kids. So like Jocelyn said, you're never too young to start applying for scholarships, or at least looking and being aware of all the scholarships that are out there. So when the kids are older, you know, not a senior in high school, because senior, you know, if you start in your senior year, you might be okay. But there's so many more opportunities if you start in middle school.
Exactly. You know, I was going to add to what you guys said is the other thing that I like about starting early, and that's going to kind of go to your point, and Monica, yours as well, is that you can see now what it takes. So if you know you need to write a strong essay, you know, you can, for parents, they can help their children develop those skills. You know, if they know that they need 300 volunteer hours for something, they can start now.
Right. And if you write a really great essay and it wins a scholarship, well, hey, maybe you should use that essay for another scholarship and just tailor it to what that scholarship needs. So, I mean, those kinds of things. You know, if you didn't win, hey, maybe you need to write something a little bit different. So just experiences will help you.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. I saw, what is it, Gerber Baby. They even have a contest now for, Jocelyn, I think it's kind of what you said. It's like a bond, I believe, that matures over time. But I was like, wow, so your baby could be a couple months.
Right. And I think, you know, those scholarships are going to have less competition because people just assume that, oh, well, you know, my kid's too young, so, you know, why even bother? So
cool. Too. So less competition means, you know, better chance of winning for your students.
Exactly. So Jasmine, I want to get back on track now, but I was just interested in what you guys had seen out there. But so the next question is what are scholarship judges wanting to see in scholarship applications?
I think it depends on what organization you are applying to for scholarship application, for scholarship money, but a few things are very consistent, and you can show it in different ways, but overall what they're looking for, I mentioned earlier, a work ethic. And that doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, kicking your butt working at McDonald's all the time, but you can show work ethic in multiple ways, whether it be a job, a part-time job, or you could be in sports, or you could be in extracurricular activities outside of school. You know, I think a lot of people, they assume if they want a scholarship to college, they have to be an athlete. I'll tell you right now, I have not an athletic bone in my body. I did everyone a favor by getting off the field. So you definitely don't need to be an athlete to get it. It's just really they're looking for a work ethic. So they want to see that you are dedicated and you're self-motivated. And the reason is because those characteristics mean that you will succeed in college. If you are kicking butt as a student, if you are getting involved, if you are getting yourself out there, if you are gaining experience in leadership at such a young age, they know you're going to hopefully continue to do the same thing in college. And those are the people they want to give the money to. They want to know that their investment is going to pay off. And honestly, I know a lot of my scholarships, I plan on donating to them. So I think it becomes this cycle. They know that if they're investing in someone that will succeed, that person will eventually reinvest in them and they can continue this self-fulfilling scholarship system. So I think that's definitely, they want to see that you are going to do something in college. And a lot of the indicators have to do with getting involved, whether it be in school, in athletics, in a part-time job. And even some people, I mentioned earlier, if you're an older sibling, I'll tell you what, I'm the oldest of five, and did I learn a lot of responsibility from that? I helped out all the time. So that's even a unique way to prove that you have a strong work ethic and that you're going to be driven and motivated in college.
Exactly. You know what, Monica, I want to ask you the same question. Is what are scholarship judges wanting to see in these scholarship applications?
Yeah, you know, I jumped into a scholarship chat today on Twitter, and it was all about the Coca-Cola scholarship. They actually led the chat. It was just a random 2 o'clock one, and somebody tweeted me and said, hey, you should go to this, and so I did. And, you know, it was great because they had the winners on there. They had the people in charge. They had previous winners talking about how they won. And the two things that really stood out are leadership and passion. And they're talking about creating a project. And I'm really big into this. You know, my kids, both the kids created projects. We called the newspaper. The newspaper was all over it because they love to see great articles and things that kids are doing. So create a project. What are your interests? What do you like to do? Figure out something how you can help other people doing what you like to do. Create the project because then you are the founder. You establish the project. You know, you're the CEO because you are. You figured it out. You did it. And leadership and passion. So I know that's really important. That really shined through today. And I already knew that, but it was great seeing that from such a big, giant scholarship provider like Coca-Cola. Initiative and drive. They want people who are going to take on projects and do things that other students might not want to do because it's maybe a little bit outside their comfort zone. But like Jocelyn said, those are the kind of people that the organizations want to give their money to because they want them to go on and go out there in the world and be impressive. And not that they're saying, well, we hope someday it comes back to us, but, you know, if it comes back, great, because it'll only make us look better.
Exactly. And so, Jocelyn, I want to go back to you. Is there any advantage for students who turn in their scholarship applications early?
I'm not sure. From my experience, I wouldn't say so. The exception to this, and now I know we're talking about scholarships, but the exception to this would be, for example, FAFSA. So when you're talking about grant money and government money, once that's gone, it's gone. So I always say get your FAFSA in as early as possible because that is first come, first serve. But as far as scholarships, I'd say it's pretty fair where you have a deadline. So as long as you meet the deadline, then you're good. Now, if you start working on a scholarship earlier, I think you have an advantage because you have more time to tweak and to get your essay reviewed and to proofread and to error check and maybe to get that extra recommendation letter that ends up being better than the first. So I think there's always an advantage to for someone who's getting prepared earlier. But I wouldn't say by submitting it you're going to have a leg up. The key is you have to meet the deadline, though.
True. And I agree. I haven't seen in my experience, and I'm honest, I wanted to get your thoughts. Is there any advantage for turning in these applications early?
Well, just the only thing is that some scholarships do have a minimum number. You know, once they reach 10,000 students, they don't accept anymore. So a student, you might not know, how do you know if they reach 10,000? You don't know. So
right.
Turning in early would be, you know, advantageous for students, like, in those kind of situations. Another one would be online scholarships. Students who wait till the last minute, I've seen this over and over, where I try to submit it, but the website crashed or it was overloaded and it wouldn't take it, and then all of a sudden it was after midnight, and now they won't accept anymore. So turning it in early in that sense is good. You know, give yourself, like I always would for my son, change the deadline myself and say, you know, really if it was due on June 15th, I'd say, hey, son, this is due on June 1st. So we need to be everything ready by June 1st. And, you know,
that
way if for some reason he didn't quite have it done or he needed one more thing, we'd have a little cushion there. But that way it was just a little bit, 2 weeks to just make sure things are in. And, you know, it just, to me, it's a little bit impressive, kids who turn them in early. But, you know, there's another kid who might have not found that scholarship until the last minute, and that's why it became a week before it's due. So, you know, you can't really judge kids on that, but at the same time, if you have two kids and they're trying to decide who's going to win the scholarship, and one turned in really early and one barely made the deadline, well, there's already a leg up right there for the student who turned it in early. So you just don't know. For scholarships, you have to do every little tiny thing it takes to be that much better than the next person.
I like that. And, you know, I didn't think about it like that, but you're right. With computer issues nowadays, that's very, you know, it's a very common thing, and it can definitely mean the difference between winning one and not
right.
Meeting the deadline. So I have a final question. I'll start with Jacqueline. If I get this question all the time, it's from parents that they're frustrated because they can't get their child motivated to apply. They tried everything. So what would be your advice to the student and the parent for how to get motivated to even start looking at applying for scholarships?
Yeah, honestly, motivation, that is the first chapter that I cover, because if you're not motivated, it's just not going to happen. I know people who applied to 5 to 10 scholarships, and they were like, I didn't get any, and then they quit. I applied to maybe 15 before I got any. You know, you've got to be self-motivated in order to make it through this process, and also to keep redoing it every year. One of my big tips is to don't stop applying when you graduate high school. Keep applying. I got more and more money every year in college, but I was motivated to do so. So one of the things, and I talked about this a little bit earlier, is soul-searching and figuring out what drives you. But one of the things that I found helpful was really understanding why are you applying? What is the benefits of this? And a parent can sit down with their kid, with their student, and sit down with them and say, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to be rich? Do you want to move? Do you want to travel? Do you want to do these things? Okay, let's take a step back. How can you be able to do that? And a lot of times, you need money, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And how do you get money? You get money with a good job. How do you get a good job? You get a good job, for the most part, with a good college degree. But the thing is, a college degree frequently comes with being buried in debt. And so how can we avoid that? Through these scholarships. So it's kind of like doing sales with your kid, or even with yourself, if you're motivated enough to do that. Really starting at the end goal and taking a step back and back and back, and eventually they're going to say, you're right, you know, you're right, I don't want to be buried in debt when I graduate. I do want a good paying job. I do want to travel. And that sounds way cooler than the short term of having to write 10 essays. So
yeah.
I think creating that bigger picture. Now, granted, I don't have children, so definitely not my expertise as far as motivating a child. But I know for motivating me, the end picture always helps, really thinking, okay, what am I going to get out of it in a selfish way? And you can be selfish in a sense. What am I going to get out of it? And scholarships, there's no harm. There's nothing bad that you would ever get out of it. You only get freedom, the ability to be debt-free. And you mentioned work now, and you can work a little less when you get to college. And I know that every kid loves to hear that. So. Just these little incentives, and really that's what got me through it.
No, I like that, and that's great advice. So now Monica, as a mom, You know, what do you say to those parents and students, too, that they're just not motivated to look or apply for scholarships?
Right. Well, you know, one of the first things we did with my son, because his first choice college in the very beginning was MIT. And so we went
wow.
to the MIT website, and we looked at, it was $55,000 a year. And it was kind of like, son, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and your dad runs our little family business that looks great on the outside, but of course he works a million hours, and we just didn't have the money.
yeah.
So we just had a real honest numbers talk. I mean, it was like, this is how much we can contribute. This is how much money you need. How are you going to get this money? You know, there's a community college 20 miles away that it has a good reputation that would be pretty much free for us. So is this what you want to do, or do you want to go to a bigger school that probably has a better education, whatever, but if you do that, you need to apply for scholarships. You need to do everything that you can, and we will do everything that we can. And that also comes back to working together as a team, applying
yes.
for more together and leaving their kids just not feeling like, well, I just, you know, I can't do it on my own. You see it on Twitter all the time. These kids,
yes.
they tweet out, you know, my mom, all she wants me to do is scholarships, and she keeps bugging me, and all this negative talk. And it's, I feel bad for those kids. I feel like I want to just go out, you know, and actually a few times I reached out and said, hey, can I help you? What can I do? And then the funny thing is most of them don't even answer me. They probably think I'm some sort of creeper or something, but like, maybe they don't really want the help. But anyway, so having an honest and open talk about how much college really does cost and how much the family really realistically can afford really brings that out into the open for those kids who, if they really want to go and they really have an idea of what they want to do, then that will motivate them into, you know, at least trying or doing their best with the scholarship process.
I agree. And, you know, I can't think of the specific figures, but Bank of America, every year they do a survey around this topic, and they always ask the teens and the parents separately, who's paying for college? And it's so funny because we always say the other one.
Yeah. Well, it always gets up on parents. You know, I mean, we always thought that we would be able to put money away, and then, you know, kids are kind of spread out, and like all of a sudden he's a senior, and started looking at colleges, and it was like, well, where did I don't even know where I thought the money was going to come from. I guess I just thought it would magically appear, and you know, it didn't come from the government for us. So it was an eye opener for me too. It was like, oh my gosh, we need to, if he wants to go to a good college, we need to figure this out. So
exactly.
Luckily, we did. We figured it out. But yeah, it's eye opening.
It is, and you know, I think it's for parents to advocate that, hey, you know, you do need to fill out scholarships, let me help you. And like Jocelyn said, I do believe there's a part of it has to be that internal motivation. Like, you have to motivate yourself, you know, and understand the end goal is what I want, and this is what I need to do to get there. So, very, very good. I was going to say, guys, I've had so much fun. I have learned so much from you two.
Yeah, so have I. This has been great. We should do this all the time.
I've learned a lot, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yes, I have really enjoyed this, and so I want to end with, just hear more about what you're doing. Jocelyn, we'll start with you, and then Monica, you coming in and just sharing what's coming up. Tell us how to get the book. Tell us how to find you online. Are you going to be, I don't know, speaking somewhere or doing something? So just kind of tell us, you know, what's going on in your world. We'll start with you, Jocelyn.
Sure. So if you are interested, the book that I wrote is called The Scholarship System, 6 Steps on How to Find Called Scholarships to Financial Aid. So long name. So basically, if you search any of those words, you'll find it. But you can find this book. It's in hard copy, ebook, and audio. I give the audio for free with both the ebook and the physical book. But you can find them on Amazon. And I also have a website, www.thescholarshipsystem.com. And what I'm going to start doing come the summer, so that we can kick off in the fall, is basically like a boot camp. So basically just sign up on my site, grab a copy of the book, you can get started, but we're going to start doing some boot camps where I work with the students, with a small group of students, whether it be virtually, online, on the phone. We're going to do a mix of it all. And really, that's going to be my main contribution, where I can work one-on-one with some students and get them, help them get the money, or at least help them get started on the process. So I would definitely suggest just going to my site, grabbing a copy of the book, and you can follow me on Twitter as well. It's Scholarship Sys, so Scholarship S-Y-S, and I just reach out to me. I hope to hear from anyone if they need anything, even just questions or answers. I'm here.
Well, great. Thank you so much, and yes, I encourage everyone to take advantage of what Jocelyn's been saying. Visit the website and take advantage of those resources. And Jocelyn, I can't wait to hear about your upcoming boot camp. So I'm excited about that. And so, Monica, your turn. Tell us about your book, where we can get it, where we can find you online, other things you're working on.
Okay, yeah. My book, it's an e-book. It's available on Amazon, and my website is How to Win College Scholarships, a guide for parents in 10 easy steps. And I also have a guide for students, and I really only did the student one because I had all these students emailing me saying, how about us? We don't have any help. Can you help us? So there is a guide for students who are doing it on their own, so more power to them. My website is howtowinscholarships.com. You can also find me every week giving scholarship tips on smartcollegevisit.com. I am their, quote, scholarship mom. I'm working on right now adding to my scholarship guides. You know, in the 4 or 5 years since my son graduated, there's been a shift in scholarships. So much more is online. And so I do give a lot of tips, and I've written several articles on how to improve online scholarship submissions and do your best when you only have really just your computer to submit. You can't mail it in and physically mail it. So I am working on just adding to my scholarship guides, and always blogging and always, you know, trying to stay current and giving out tips. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Aid Scholarship, A-I-D Scholarship. I host a scholarship chat. It's usually the first Wednesday of every month. We switched this week. I did it last week instead of tomorrow because somebody else needed a schedule change. So, but the first Wednesday of every month, it's Campus Chat is what it's called. And it's a scholarship chat. And Ashley's been my guest on that. That was awesome. That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. And so I'm just, you know, I did a podcast yesterday. I mean, there's just lots of things going on. It's so exciting. This is a little bit of a downtime because a lot of kids, you know, they're getting ready to graduate. They're thinking, oh, the scholarship deadlines have all passed. And that's not true. There's lots of them. I have my own scholarship this year. I'd love to mention this. It's called the Savor Summer. Savor because I love summer and I savor every minute of it. The Savor Summer College Scholarship, and it's on my site, howtowinscholarships.com, that kids could apply for sophomores, juniors, and seniors. I wanted to open it up to more kids, and that's not due until July 1st, so there's lots of time for that. And that has been so interesting for me to be my own judge because I have my applications. They're all physically mailed to my P.O. box, and it's fascinating to me, the things I'm getting and I'm not getting, like not doing the letter or not doing the application itself. They'll just send me a letter of recommendation. So that's been an eye-opener for me, which is leading to more quality blog posts and things that I can help kids with through the whole scholarship process. So I'm excited. It's been great. So this has been great, too, actually. I totally appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. That's what I was going to kind of end it with is, Jocelyn, thank you so much. I've been enlightened, and I've learned a lot of things from you. And so I just want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. And, Monica, you as well. Thank you so much. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure that those that will be listening will learn a lot as well. So, again, thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Jocelyn.
Thank you. And we'll have to do another scholarship chat coming up.
Sounds good.
All right, you guys, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.